It's time to shine the spotlight on the Maryland thoroughbred industry.
And safely kept, comes on to snatch the victory in the final stride.
They can't beat the Heat. Extra Heat. She wins it by 2.5 in 122-3. Here comes the cat. Ben's cat on the inside. Ben's cat. Can Ben's cat do it? He's remarkable. He's Ben's cat. He's the coolest cat around.
And here's the wire. Concern from out of the clouds to win the 11th Breeders' Cup Classic. And here he is. The incomparable, invincible, unbeatable Cigar.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Kurt Becker.
Hello again, everyone, and a very pleasant good afternoon. Welcome to a very special presentation of the Horse Racing Radio Network as we once again shine the spotlight on the Maryland thoroughbred horse industry. And what an industry it is. Talking about names like Safely Kept and Extra Heat and Concern and Cigar and those names, those race clips you just heard and are open to the broadcast here today. This is an industry steeped in history, steeped in tradition. And on Saturday, we will celebrate the 144th running of the Preakness Stakes. But for now, we'll focus on the industry. We'll hear from several guests over the course of the next hour. It is going to be a lot of fun as we come to you live from Power Plant Live in downtown Baltimore. This is where the post draw will begin in just about an hour. I'm Mike Penna, alongside Kurt Becker, the voice of Keeneland Racecourse. And Kurt, this is a special show. We have done this show the past several years. We've been part of the post position draw, which will continue to bring people again this year. This is a special day because all of the focus begins to shift now toward the middle jewel of horse racing's Triple Crown.
And, you know, the people of Maryland love opening their doors and welcoming everyone from all across the country, all across North America, and from around the globe for this week. There's always a very festive atmosphere at each and every leg of the Triple Crown Series, and the folks here take tremendous pride in this event. They don't care where you come here from. They're just glad you're here, and they love to roll out the carpet, the red carpet, and welcome you.
They do, and it's not only the folks that are involved in the industry. The people of Baltimore, as you mentioned, certainly more welcoming than ever when you come here. And it is a big party, right? Let's face it.
Right.
What we saw in Kentucky 2 weeks ago with the Kentucky Derby, the infield there is a party, but when you come to the Preakness, it goes to a whole new level.
It really does. And I think part of that is the fact that there's so much pressure leading into the Kentucky Derby. Because it is the Derby, and because it kicks off the Triple Crown Series, and because it culminates months of all of those preliminary events, and you've got to worry, do I have enough points to get to the starting gate, and, you know, will this be my only shot to win a Derby? When the Derby is over, whether it's win, lose, or draw, there's a whole new set of storylines and a whole new set of opportunities here during the Preakness.
Oh, it certainly is, and we're going to see several horses return from the Kentucky Derby, four as a matter of fact. We'll see nine newcomers, which always adds a new element of intrigue to this year's field. We're going to talk about that as we move over the course of the next couple of hours here. We're with people right until 6 Eastern before we segue into our trainer talk show presented by Fasig Tipton, and of course that program tonight going to feature an outstanding trainer in Kelly Rubley, who is looking to make a little history of her own right on Saturday when she sends out Always Mining, the Maryland bred runner, in this year's Preakness.
He is a dangerous horse, and he's probably going to go off at a nice price. You know, Mike, you and I were talking earlier today. You go back and you look at the history of the Preakness, and it seems like that Pimlico is a track that can often favor a horse with early speed out of the gate. And how many times have we seen that happen where a horse goes right to the lead, whether it's a favorite or a long shot, and either they win or they're very, very tough to get by in that final furlong? There have been so many examples of that. This is a horse who's got a high cruising speed, and he's tough.
What a day it would be for the Maryland horse industry if indeed Always Mining could find some way to hold off the other 12 challengers and to get a victory at Old Hilltop. But you have to go back to Deputed Testimony to find the last Maryland-bred runner to win the Preakness.
Yeah, you're right. And I think before that, back to 1972 with BBB, who pulled off a big upset on a rainy day. And you know, speaking of that, it seems like every time we turn around on a Triple Crown race day in the last couple of years, we have to deal with rain. But fingers crossed, toes crossed, it looks like at this point the forecast is okay for Saturday.
Yeah, it should be pretty good. And what a scene it is here, huh? This Power Plant Live in downtown Baltimore. Many of the connections already beginning to arrive. Again, we're still some 55 minutes away from the start of the post position draw, but the connections are here. There are cocktails being served. There is a buffet set up, which we are too far away from. I can tell you that, my friend.
Agreed.
We should have set up a little closer to that buffet. But it's a neat little scene. It's kind of an open-air type of setting. There is a glass roof that is overhead, so if it did rain, we'd be fine, but we are not expecting any rain here tonight. We have the stage over to our right with a big television screen behind it, which will display the post positions. I'm sure some highlights of the contenders when they draw their names here today. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You know, as we were pulling up earlier today, and getting ready to unload the car and get everything set up, you can tell how much the people of downtown Baltimore enjoy hosting an event of this nature, because it's like anything. If you drive into an area and you're not sure, can I park here, can I not park here? As we were sorting all that out, and your lovely bride, Michelle, was at the wheel and was kind enough to deal with all that, did you notice how the police, the security people, the valet parkers, they were very kind, very accommodating, and they're just glad you're here.
Yeah, they are. Happy to have us here. We're happy to have you with us here on this Spotlight Show, a look at the Maryland horse industry, special presentation of the Horse Racing Radio Network. This show going until 5 Eastern when we segue into coverage of the post-position draw for Preakness 144. What's coming up over the course of the next hour? We're going to visit with several special guests to talk about the industry here in the state of Maryland, including Mike Pons of Country Life Farm. So much history, so much tradition associated with that farm. And we will talk to Mike coming up at about 4:10 Eastern time. Bill Reitler is going to be with us, a consigner who has had a lot of success in the game, but maybe none more so than when he sold Nick's Go, who turned out to win, be a Grade 1 winner and win the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland last year. We'll talk to Bill coming up right around 4:28 Eastern. And Cricket Goodall is the executive director of the Maryland Thoroughbred Horse Breeders. We'll talk to her coming up at 4:45 Eastern. So a lot of ground to cover over the course of the next hour.
We're going to be talking a little Maryland racing history. We're going to be talking about the Maryland breeding program. We're going to be talking about some of those great Maryland breeds that you've already touched on, Mike. We'll have plenty to cover.
All right, that's all ahead. You are listening to a special presentation of the Horse Racing Radio Network, shining the spotlight on the Maryland thoroughbred industry.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry, for over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
The Pons family's Country Life Farm is proud to celebrate over 85 years in the thoroughbred business. Established in 1933, Country Life is nationally recognized for making such stallions as Malibu Moon and Grade 1 sire Frisian Fire. Our beautiful training center at Maryland Farm allows us to offer a full service operation, from the foaling barn to the racetrack, and our popular racing and breeding partnerships bring new faces to this exciting sport. Come join us. Get in the game with Country Life Farm. Visit us online at countrylifefarm.com.
Thoroughbred Charities of America raises and distributes funding to approved nonprofits that help thoroughbreds and the people who care for them. TCA's annual grants support aftercare and incentive programs, health and human service initiatives for backstretch and farm workers, and equine-assisted therapy programs that utilize thoroughbreds. TCA is one, helping many. Please support TCA today at tca.org.
Don't miss HRRN's coverage of the Black Eyed Susan and Pimlico special. This Friday, beginning at 4 p.m. Eastern, Bobby Newman and Jay Privman will bring you full coverage of both races, complete with their expert analysis. The Black Eyed Susan and Pimlico special, this Friday, beginning at 4 p.m. Eastern, only on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
Hi, I'm Leah Jarmati, and I love listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Maryland Thoroughbred Industry Spotlight on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
A quarter of a mile between Cigar and A Perfect Season, coming down to the last furlong with a 2.5 length lead, and Jerry Bailey calls on Cigar for everything he has. The Carrier is awakening second on the inside. Track danger too. There he is, Cigar.
Welcome back. Mike Pena, Kurt Becker, live from the post position draw in downtown Maryland, shining the spotlight on the Maryland thoroughbred industry, and it doesn't get any bigger than that. Cigar in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Tom Durkin with the call. Tremendous call, tremendous race, and tremendous horse who began his career right here in the state of Maryland. He was born right at Country Life Farm, and we are joined now by the man who runs Country Life along with his brother Josh. That is Mike Pons. And Mike, happy to have you with us again this year. Thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, and you hear that call, Cigar.
Oh, gives me goosebumps. I saw four of those 16 and April 18th, 1990 changed our lives.
Yeah. Were you there the day that he won the Classic?
Yes. I didn't make Dubai, but I made the Pimlico Special and the Classic and, you know, a couple others. It was really fun.
What do you remember about him as a baby?
Well, I'll never forget. My sister-in-law, Josh's wife, Ellen, was pregnant with little Josh. And it was late in the pregnancy, and she's turning the horses out. And the good ones can do things that you can't believe they can do. And this little bugger ran up, and she was standing right beside him. And somehow or another, he cow-kicked her and caught her, you know, in the lower part of her stomach. And it upset her so much, you know, she got the mare in foal out the gate and closed it up and said, that's it. There's no more. I'm not doing this anymore, you know. And so when little Josh showed up, he had a little cleft in his chin. And my mom looks at him and goes, oh, my God, that's where Cigar got him. So we laughed, teased about it. Yeah. Yeah.
Poor little Josh.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, now he's 6 foot tall and 28, but what the heck. He can take a licking.
It's just incredible. You think about the history of the – we were talking about that as we came on the air, the history of the industry here in the state.
Oh, it's beautiful. 400 years of breeding, raising horses.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
George Washington's on the streets of Annapolis watching him roll down the midway, you know.
Unbelievable. So much is made about the industry in Kentucky, and rightfully so. But Maryland doesn't
it was prairie
backseat,
then.
Backseat
you know,
to anybody, yeah.
Kentucky was still part of Virginia. You know, it wasn't even its own state then. It
Think
was
about that.
You know, it was a different world then. But a lot of fun. And some wonderful characters over the years and some unbelievable horsemen. You know, any era you want to pick, you know, there's always been people that are very good at what they do, and I take my hat off to them because they know a heck of a lot more than I'll ever know. Yeah.
You talked about the rich racing and breeding tradition going back literally hundreds of years here in Maryland. As the program has come into focus, Country Life Farm, how far back do the roots of this farm go, and how long connected to your family?
Well, we're in generation number four. And this fall, it'll be 86 years for us.
Wow.
And grandfather worked in New York. Prior to that, he was August Belmont's Guy Friday and planned the mating of Man of War and, you know, helped him buy terrific mares. When Vanderbilt got in the game, this was after Belmont died in 24 in the early 30s, he sold him Discovery. And then Discovery second in the Derby the next year, and one of the great weight carriers of all time. And then he went to Texas and found three mares from the Wagner farm, and Texas was going to be huge in racing, you know, even back in that era. And he brought the three mares up, so it was like he got, you know, Ray Charles and the Supremes bringing in, to, you know, to Sagamore, because the one mare was the dam of Next Move, the other mare was the second dam of Native Dancer. I mean, it was all right there. Pretty cool stuff.
What is it about Maryland that allows the industry to thrive here year in and year out?
Well, the racing is the engine that drives the whole train, and Pimlico, with all the history it's got. You know, Laurel started in 1911 when New York racing actually was dark for 2 years from 1911 to 1913 because gambling was frowned upon at the time. Where are these horses all going to run? Well, they came south to Laurel, and that's what started Laurel Racecourse. A bunch of them went to Europe. You know, Woodward sent his horses overseas at that point. Belmont had sent my grandfather to buy him a farm in Europe to go back over the pond. And fortunately, cooler heads prevailed in New York, and they realized the tax revenue and the jobs, I mean, they were missing, and brought it back. And, you know, we've never looked back since then.
You talked about tax revenue and jobs and so on and so forth. And earlier today, Mike and I had a chance to get in the car and go for a spin. And you drive by the farms, and you go past a training center such as Fair Hill, and you look at all of the folks that are employed in this industry, that count on this industry to make a living. Do you have folks right now in the state legislature who understand that and grasp that part of what this industry means to Maryland?
Yes and no. Many of what I call the old guard, the guys who've been there forever, are getting older. You know, we lost Mike Bush, who was the longest seated Speaker of the House in this nation. We have the oldest president of the Senate, longstanding, currently, but he's had health issues of his own. And it's hard because the population shifts. Baltimore City is shrinking, but Montgomery County near D.C. and Prince George's are over 1 million people each. They have power that it's sort of eroding and moving south, and they're less and less agrarian, so we have to go and state our case all over again. And, you know, my guys in Kentucky will swap stories. They go to Frankfort, we go to Annapolis. My guys in Florida, Tallahassee, we all are plowing familiar ground, and some ways it's an uphill battle. But the other side of the coin, we have a good story to tell. You know, one thing about horses, it's labor intensive, and all those paychecks, that money gets spent 3, 4, 5 times. When you know, I'll spend $800,000 on payroll, that's almost $4 million.
Yeah.
When you put it, you know, the groceries and all the things it buys, that's real. There's a lot of other things that we do that are very tangible, and they understand that. You know, you have to put it in sort of ABC terms.
I told Mike today, I have not spent as much time in Maryland as I would have liked over the years, but when I do come here, I'm amazed. You mentioned the agrarian aspect, and you don't have to drive very far outside of the Baltimore area, and I mean, all of a sudden, you're in this bucolic pastoral setting with kind of the gently rolling hills and these farms that are just, anybody that has an appreciation for agriculture has got to love this state. We live in an era of development. I mean, it seems like land is constantly being developed. How much pride do the farm owners of this state take in maintaining those farms?
Well, it's a lot. And more than pride, it's a lot of sweat. But one thing Maryland has done is they have a tremendous ag preservation program. Baltimore County, with Sagamore and all those big farms through there, in the 50s, they went back and really worked hard at preserving those giant blocks of land and rewrote the zoning laws that made it a lot more restrictive, and that's why that land is still there. But there's you get to speak city, there's 7,000 acres all there together that's preserved. Fair Hill was once part of 10,000 acres. It's still 3,000 in two states. And one of my farms is not only an ag preserve, but historical trust. So if I want to build a McMansion, I have to build it in the footprint of the building that was there already, you know. So it may be vertical, but it won't be horizontal.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. They do a lot of things like that. And our beef was that they did a lot for the land, but how much do you do for the farmer? So the subsidy from the slots has certainly helped. You know, that's north of about $60 million. It's never going to hit the $100 million they projected because of competition. But nevertheless, that's real money that goes in the purse account and bread fund and basically have doubled and tripled what we currently had. You know, so that's real money. And this whole region is fascinating. Jersey has got to supplement 5 years, $100 million, if they show north numbers on attendance and handle, and they will. So that tide is rising. Pennsylvania money keeps rolling in. Virginia is going to have racing for the first time in 9 years or so, $500,000 purses per day. West Virginia is getting $11 million back that they were taking for their workman's comp fund. So this whole region, you know, is getting a pay raise.
We're visiting with Mike Pons of Country Life Farm here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're with you until 6 o'clock Eastern before we segue into our trainer talk show. Our coverage of the post-position draw tonight, which begins at 5 Eastern following this show, is presented by Country Life Farm and the Maryland Thoroughbred Horse Breeders Association. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And, Mike, really appreciate your support of that program. You were the title sponsor of our Maryland Million coverage last year from Laurel. Really appreciate all of that. Sticking with the pride theme for a minute with Kurt's question to you a minute ago, when you think back on everything that your family has built at Country Life and you think back on everything that this industry here in the state of Maryland has overcome and where it continues to grow year in and year out, you talk with great enthusiasm about the industry and about your farm. What are you most proud of as a Marylander?
Well, I'm proud of, you know, it's like Survivor. And you see the folks, you know, coming down the watering hole, if you will. And whenever I'd come down the watering hole and look around and see my buddies who survived, you know, whatever's going on. I really have a lot of respect for them, because to keep coming back day after day, year after year, that's a wonderful skill. And I see my guys in Kentucky that have small farms that are trying to make it. And every time I see them, I want to give them a big bear hug because, you know, hey, we're there, pal. Keep going.
Yeah.
And it's fun when I go to Keeneland or Timonium and somebody gets a breakout horse, or they go to the races and have a nice score, because that's what keeps the farms going. There's a cool bonus in the Maryland program, if you saw it in the TDN, but the legislature's put the money up the last 5 years and no one's won any of it. $500,000 if a Maryland bred wins, the owner gets $225,000, the breeder gets $225,000, and a Maryland sire, if it is, gets $50,000. And they'll pay 20% to second and 10% per third, but they've never given away a dime. They got $1 million worth of publicity. This year it could happen. With the Preakness being wide open, always money could hit the board.
He's a good horse.
You know, he's a nice horse. And the gal who bred him, Poppin' Pitts, very nice gal. You're a wonderful small breeder, can't have 2-3 mares, but this is a good one. You know, her daughter Helen is a nice trainer. You see her at Keeneland. You know, they're very good horse people. You know, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Have somebody with a dog in the fight.
Yeah, Kurt and I spent time with Kelly Rubley up
yes.
at Fairhill this morning.
Oh, wow. What a story that is.
Really, really is. Great story there. Tremendous.
Yeah. And she's great. Done a hell of a job.
Great for the state if Maryland bred can find a way to do it.
There, Mike and I talked about this. You know, you come out of the Derby and you have the disqualification, and okay, well, neither Maximum Security nor Country House is coming here this week. Man, there are all kinds of storylines in that. I mean, there are storylines galore, and the one that you guys just touched on is amazing to think. You've got potential for the first Maryland bred in 36 years to win this race, and potentially the first female trainer ever to win a Triple Crown race. And how about Kelly Rubley's story? Former eighth grade science teacher. They're going to be educators all over the country. They're going to jump onto that story and follow
it. Oh, you got to love a gal like that.
Yeah.
I mean, her heart and soul's in it, and that's what you got to be. And at Fair Hill, I mean, Animal Kingdom's been up there, and you know all those great horses. You know, win-win-wins up there.
Yep.
Mike Trombetta, you know, a Maryland guy, trains for me, and Julian Pimenthal rides for me, and there are natural folks to root for. They were ninth and moved up to ninth from 10th in the Derby, only beating me here to the stage. You take those out of there, he's right there. Got tactical speed. He could be dangerous at Pimlico, with speed is so important.
Mike, we have a couple of minutes left. We haven't even talked about some of the stallions that you stand at Country Life, including a horse by the name of Frisian Fire, who's done some pretty good things.
Oh, he's the only sire. He's the leading sire in the state, and the only guy to have a sire, to have a son at stud in Central Kentucky. You know, Army Mule's going to breed like 125 mares. It broke my heart when, you know, he's 3-for-3, and the Breeders' Cup sitting right in front of him, and I thought he had him like an oyster on a cracker. And, you know, it just didn't happen. But, you know, he's got the magic muscle, the speed, and, you know, he's so good-looking. You know, when they brought him out and I was down there, Good Magic comes out and he's a champion. Okay, they bring Mule out and he just makes, you know, it's a kick in sand in their faces. You know, very handsome. And speed is something else. You know, you look at Danzig and Raisin Native, they were all fast. And that's, speed is something that they give readily, transmitted to their sons and daughters.
When I look at your stallion roster at Country Life Farm, you have a son of Tappan, a son of Malibu Moon, a son of AP Indy, a son of Warfront, a son of Pulpit. Man, you don't mess around, do you?
And I'm hunting a son of Into Mischief. Anyway, like some old hunting dog, I'm on the trail. I'm a little farther behind, but darn if I aren't trying, you know.
Yeah, Max Into Mischief is red hot right now.
And who to figure?
Red hot.
You know, I saw him win in the Breeders' Cup undercard. I had no idea who I'm looking at, you know. And that's what's so cool about the way that the run gene gets transmitted in this breed. You know, Harlan's Holiday, how'd you think he'd be Stormcat's conduit on to the future? You know, you couldn't guess this kind of stuff. And that's what's so beautiful, the glorious uncertainty of the turf. And whether you're a handicapper or a breeder or somebody with a pitchfork and a rake, you know, every day is different.
Yeah. Mike Pond's Country Life Farm. You can check out their website as well if you want to learn more about Country Life and their stallion roster and Maryland. You just go to countrylifefarm.com. Mike, as always, appreciate the support. You're always very generous with your time as well, so appreciate you spending a few minutes with us here. Go enjoy the rest of the day and
Alrighty.
Enjoy the draw.
Hey, I'll have to bet a few bucks on
always
the Maryland.
Always mining.
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
My
Mike
pleasure.
Pond's said he likes to hit leadoff. He always hit leadoff when he was growing up. Guess what? He just got us off to a great start today.
That he did.
Yeah, he might have actually hit a home run on us.
It doesn't matter if you want to talk racing history, if you want to talk what happened an hour ago, man, he's on top of it.
Spectacular, outstanding, and again, countrylifefarm.com is where you can go to learn more. We're going to get to another break. We'll come back. We're going to visit with consigner Bill Reitler next. We'll talk about a little horse by the name of Nick's Go. You're listening to a special presentation of the Horse Racing Radio Network, shining the spotlight on the Maryland thoroughbred industry.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry, for over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
The 145th Kentucky Derby is in the books, and it was a wild one. Now it's off to Baltimore for the second leg of the Triple Crown. Top finishers from Louisville are skipping this dance. Will a Derby also ran or a new face smile at Pimlico? See what experts have to say in ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Guide. That's right, the guide is free to everyone and available online at ExpressBet.com. Inside the guide, you'll find expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Don't plunk down your hard-earned bread until you've read what these guys have to say. Also, ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Guide provides you with important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Preakness Wager Guide beginning Friday, May 10th, and an updated version that includes Eddie Olchek's picks May 16th. Open a new ExpressBet account and get up to a $500 welcome bonus. Visit the website for complete details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
The Preakness Stakes.
Treehouse Silver Charm, Captain Fergin. Oh, it's close. Could be Silver Charm, but it is Rachel Alexandra. She's simply above and beyond them.
Justify. He's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
HRRN is your home for the 144th Preakness Stakes. This Saturday, beginning at 2 p.m. Eastern. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Maryland Thoroughbred Industry Spotlight on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Past the quarter pole, Signalman fourth, Sambaye is fifth, gap of five back to Baracho, and Standard Deviation, who's still seventh. They turn for home. Nick's Go, leading Derby date by five lengths off the turn. Signalman third toward the inside. Sambaye is fourth on the outside. Standard Deviation fifth down the center of the track, but well behind Nick's Go. And Nick's Go at 70-1, Alvin Jimenez. Nick's Go, tremendous upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity, 1 minute 44.23 seconds.
How about that race call from our very own Kurt Becker, the Breeders' Futurity, grade one at Keeneland, and it goes to Nick's Go. Very impressive last year. He would go on to be voted Maryland bred Horse of the Year as champion two-year-old male, and boy, what a performance that day. And Kurt, you had the privilege, as we just heard, of calling that race, and this was a very special two-year-old.
He is, and he was had a fantastic campaign last fall, and he backed it up. I mean, after,
yeah, he did.
You know, so often you'll see a horse that maybe a young horse like that that'll pop at a big price at a prep race heading toward the Breeders' Cup, but then in the juvenile they're not a factor. And not only was he a factor, but what a just a tough game racehorse. He gave Game Winner all he wanted down the stretch on Breeders' Cup Day.
Well, he is indeed Kurt Becker. I'm Mike Penna. We are live from Power Plant Live in downtown Baltimore, edging closer to the start of the post position draw for Preakness 144. That begins 5 o'clock Eastern time. But the reason we wanted to welcome you back with that race call of Nick's Go winning the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland was because our next guest is somebody who, well, we figured he would enjoy it just a little bit. He is consigner Bill Reitler. You can go to Bill Reitler Bloodstock to learn more about him. But, Bill, I have to tell you, you sold Nick's Go, and to have him be a champion here in the state of Maryland has to be special to you.
Oh, yes, it is. It was a really special time to help Breeders Angie and Sabrina Moore, great people here in Maryland, and just a good time all around. I mean, you mentioned Army Mule. Well, Army Mule was one of our consignees. Of course, I sold him for $35,000 for Jim McGreevy, and David Scanlon sold him for $850,000, and he went on from there. But kind of a good story.
What do you remember about Nick's go when you first laid eyes on him?
Well, you know, he was out of a mare named Cosmos Buddy, and she was really fast. I believe John Salzman in Maryland trained her, and so when we mated her, mated him. Actually, it was a pinhooker that bought the horse, and he said to me, he said, you know, these painters aren't very good looking horses. You've got a pretty good one, and you know, he bought the horse and went on from there. But he had a great physical presence. You know, we sold him as a weanling for the Moors, and just had a really nice gait to him and walk. And Peter O'Callaghan bought him, and he's a pretty good judge. And you know, so it doesn't surprise you that he went on. And so it's great.
Bill, we've been talking throughout the show about Preakness Week and what this week means to natives of Maryland. Did you grow up in the Baltimore area, and did you grow up in a horse racing family yourself?
Well, that's an interesting story. Actually, I grew up in a suburb of Baltimore, Woodlawn. And actually, my father was a roofing contractor, and he came home one day with he always played the horses, always gambled, always bet the horses, but he came home one day, client couldn't pay him for a repair job on a roof, and he brought a pony home in the back of his truck, and he staked it in the backyard. The neighbors started complaining about flies and the smell from the manure, and the next thing you know, Dad bought a 20-year farm in Westminster, a mile away from a thoroughbred horse farm that was owned by Bob Mann.
All right, I think we may have actually lost Bill Reitler there, the connection. So we'll try to reconnect with Bill, get him back on. Really interesting stuff, though. He had me captivated. He drew me in with that story.
Yeah, you know, we talked to Bill a year ago after the post position draw for the Preakness.
Yeah.
And Bill's one of those guys that a lot of us, we see him at the sales. He's a bloodstock agent. And we asked him off the air last year. So, you know, a lot of times you just this is a game where a lot of folks grow up in the industry. And we asked, did you grow up in the sport? He said, no. He said, my dad was a roofing contractor, and someone couldn't pay a bill, and they gave him a pony to compensate for a roofing job. And I think that where Bill was headed with that story was, you know, his father bought this farm that he talked about right outside of town, out in the rural area, and Bill would go out and care for the pony each day, and that was where his interest came from. And I think eventually he got a job, if I remember correctly, at Pimlico and maybe even at Laurel working as a hot walker and ended up being a bloodstock agent.
Yeah, I think he actually, there was a point, too, where he was in a management position at Chancellan Farm,
yes,
if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, he paid his dues. He's been in this industry here in the state for a long time and somebody who's had a lot of success. And, of course, now he gets a chance to sell Nick's Go. I did not realize that the mule came out of his consignment either.
I was surprised by that. I was
Army Mule.
Unaware. You know, the folks here in Maryland, they love the above all else. And I think we've got Bill back now with us.
Yep, Bill, you there?
Yes.
All right, we apologize for that. I guess the phone connection dropped. But, yeah, you were telling us the story. Kurt and I were just kind of going through some of your resume and talking about your time at Chancellan Farm and the time you spent working at Pimlico and those things. So if you want, just kind of take it from there and walk us through.
Well, I don't know what you last heard. You know, I started at a farm a mile away from the farm that my dad bought. And my mentor was Sonny Sims, a farm manager. And, you know, after training some of the foals that we had produced, Sonny said, you know, Bill, you're not going to get anywhere training horses at the Heifers. So he recommended me to John Williams, who managed Spendthrift Farm with Leslie Combs. And John kind of took me under his wing. It was like going to grad school in the horse business. And then And after 6 years of working in all the departments at Spendthrift, you know, we had 45 stallions at Spendthrift, Seattle Slewed, Affirmed, Exclusive Native, all the top ones. And it was like going to grad school for me. And then he recommended me to Ellen Orion, and I came home to Maryland and ran Ross Valley Farm. We sold Houston for $2.9 million. He was out of a champion named Smart Angle, and then I moved to Chanceland. I started my own consignment business 20 years ago. So it's been a great ride.
You know, Bill, when you talk about the sales industry, I know that coming up here right after the Preakness next week on Monday and Tuesday, there's the Fasig-Tipton Mid-Atlantic two-year-olds in training sale. And when we talk about you being a bloodstock agent, we've touched on the fact that, you know, you will represent horses in the ring. But I know that also that you're always on the lookout for up-and-coming talent that perhaps you can buy and then resell, put the horse with the right trainer, so to speak. You were at the Breeze show earlier today. Did anything particularly catch your eye at the Mid-Atlantic two-year-old Breeze show?
Yeah, in fact, I'm waiting for the call. I was listening to your program. I'm working on my short list for clients, Country Life Farm and, you know, two other clients. And yeah, I've seen you know, a number of horses, at least 40 in the last 2 days that, you know, are all making my short list, and I'll go back to the sales and watch a final Breeze show tomorrow and then start the physical inspections. But there's quite a few pretty precocious, fast looking horses, and you know, at this Timonium sale, it's become one of the top 2-year-old sales in the country now. You know, we could see a horse that'll command six figures, you know, on Tuesday or Wednesday. So it's a great spot. The track's in good shape. I'm on the Maryland State Fair Board. We've made some improvements to the facilities there. And so everything's coming together really well. It's a great spot for a horse sale.
Bill, I'm going to allow you to brag on yourself here for just a minute, because I think you should when you have the kind of success that you have had in your 20 years as a consigner. We talked about Nick's Go and the winner of the Breeders' Futurity last year, but you also sold another champion by the name of Declan's Moon, who came through your program. Tell me a little bit about him.
Well, Declan's Moon, that's a really soft spot, my special place for me. My long-term friend Bryce Ridgely, you know, basically a farmer in Howard County that always bred horses, and, you know, he raised his own hay and raised crops, and he was just a wonderful guy. And he was an auctioneer, too. In fact, he started out in the horse business driving Humphrey Finney around, you know, one of the, you know, founders of Fasig-Tipton. And, you know, I can remember, you know, to this day, we were looking at Malibu Moon up at Country Life his first year. He stood for $3,500 at that time. And, you know, Bryce really had an affinity for people, and he liked people, and he really liked Mike and Josh. And he said, you know, I'm going to, we talked about it, but he said, you know, I'm going to breed this mare to BV Star, was her name, to Malibu Moon. And he bought BV Star out of the paper, out of the horses and bloodstock section of Baltimore Sun. He bought her, the yearling, and another horse for $3,500. And little did he know that this mating with Malibu Moon was going to result in a 2-year-old champion named Declan's Moon. We sold Declan's Moon at the Timonium yearling sales we have in October. And Samantha Siegel bought him for $75,000, I think it was. No, it was $125,000. But he was a gelding. Bryce didn't have the room to segregate his colts, so he gelded all of them. So a lot of people liked this horse, but there was a ceiling on it because, you know, he wasn't intact. But just a great Maryland story.
Yeah, it's a great story, as are you, Bill. And we'll encourage people to go to BillReitlerBloodstock.com if they want to learn more. And best of luck at the Fasig-Tipton sale coming up this week. And really appreciate the visit here on the show tonight. Truly did help us shine a spotlight on this great industry here in the state of Maryland.
All right. Well, I'll do all the best this weekend. And thanks for the service that you and Kurt, everybody connected with your company does for the industry. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Bill. Bill Reitler, Bill Reitler Bloodstock. And, yeah, somebody who you heard him talk about his success. And I know that unless you prompt Bill to talk about those kind of things, he's not going to just throw it out there. If you noticed that when he talked about Nick's Go, he was right. Very humble. he wasn't going to go to Declan's Moon unless I brought it up. That's just the kind of guy he is. But he's somebody who has been an integral part of this business and this industry here in the state for a very, very long time.
And, you know, right before he came back for that second segment, started to say that he is like so many folks here in Maryland. He truly loves the horse. And one of the things that's made him successful as a bloodstock agent, if Mike Pena comes by his consignment, if you go to Bill and say, you know, I'd like to see hip number such and such, he knows trainers and he knows what they like, and he might say to you, Mike, I'll show him to you, but for your purposes, for your program, I'm not sure this particular colt. Now, I tell you who would fit your program, and he's very straightforward that way. He's good at guiding the right people toward the right horse. He knows what they like, he pays attention, and he wants them back as return customers.
I remember I tried that with Bill once. He said, Mike, $75 is not going to get done. I'm the son of Malibu Moon. Not going to do it. I said, all right, Bill.
Fair enough.
I went on my way. All right, we're going to take another break. We'll come back and visit with Cricket Goodall, who is the executive director of the Maryland Horse Breeders Association. You are listening to a special presentation of the Horse Racing Radio Network, shining the spotlight on the Maryland thoroughbred industry.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry, for over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
The Ponds family's Country Life Farm is proud to celebrate over 85 years in the thoroughbred business. Established in 1933, Country Life is nationally recognized for making such stallions as Malibu Moon and Grade 1 sire Frisian Fire. Our beautiful training center at Maryland Farm allows us to offer a full service operation, from the foaling barn to the racetrack, and our popular racing and breeding partnerships bring new faces to this exciting sport. Come join us. Get in the game with Country Life Farm. Visit us online at countrylifefarm.com.
Hey everyone, this is Mike Pena. Join me and our entire HRN team this Saturday, beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern, for exclusive coverage of the 144th Preakness Stakes, live from Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore, Maryland. Who will claim horse racing's middle jewel? Tune in to find out. It's the Preakness Stakes this Saturday, starting at 3 o'clock Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 and streaming live on your computer, phone, or mobile devices at horseracingradio.net.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Join me and Jude Feld every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern for Express Bet Radio on HRN. We'll have live racing from summer tracks like Belmont, Saratoga, Del Mar, Santa Anita, Churchill Downs, and more, and interviews with the top horsemen and women from around the country. You can tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live worldwide at horseracingradio.net. That's Express Bet Radio on HRN.
I'm Manny Franco, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Maryland Thoroughbred Industry Spotlight on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Sure, we toyed around with some of the prep races for the Derby, but ultimately, we're looking at the longevity of the horse. You know, there's a lot of races left in the year, and we're hoping to have a great career with him next year and hopefully years after that. So they were wonderful in allowing us to take the more natural path through Maryland, and they are very happy to be representing Maryland with this Maryland bred. I mean, he does seem to be an exceptional Maryland bred.
That was trainer Kelly Rubley talking about her exciting Maryland bred, Always Mining, who goes to the post in Saturday's Preakness Stakes. He'll be carrying the hopes of the home state. We'll see if he can become the first Maryland bred since Deputed Testimony to win the middle jewel of horse racing's Triple Crown. You're going to hear that entire interview with Kelly Rubley coming up tonight on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. You can join us for that program right here, Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. It begins 6 Eastern following our coverage of the post-position draw. But joined now by Cricket Goodall, who is the executive director of the Maryland Horse Breeders Association. And nice enough to spend time with us again here tonight. And Cricket, really appreciate the visit as always. And great to see you.
Hey, Mike, thanks for coming. We're so happy to see you in Maryland. We really like it when you come visit us up here.
I love the sticker, by the way.
Yeah,
you're wearing the black top. You've got the Maryland colors across your left side of your chest. Yeah,
I'm a Maryland bred, yeah. So I've got Maryland bred stickers because we're all about Maryland breds in the Preakness. We have I don't know if this is out, but there's a $500,000 bonus for the Maryland bred that wins the Preakness. So we have our fingers crossed. It's the 90th anniversary of the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, so what a great year to have a Maryland bred win the Preakness.
Wow.
Mike and I were talking about the fact, about deputed testimony of the last Maryland bred to win the Preakness, 1983. Is it exciting for you to have a chance to see a Maryland bred win because you weren't even alive the last time this happened?
I wish. I actually watched it on television that year, and I was glad I wasn't there because it was pouring rain. It was awful weather, but I was cheering loudly. But, I was well aware of that Maryland bred, too. And, you know, I didn't realize how I thought we'd have another one since then. So at the time, I probably didn't appreciate it as much as I should have.
It seems like so many times in the years since then, that's one of those stats that I think is a bit deceptive, because we've seen Maryland breds who have run very well in the Preakness. They just simply didn't get to the winner's circle. But it seems like they always give a good account of themselves. As far as roots in Maryland, are you a native Marylander yourself?
I am. I am born and raised. I'm a Maryland bred through and through, yeah. And I appreciate the people that appreciate Maryland. And I think the owners of Always Mining have said that. They're Pennsylvania people, but they said it's a Maryland story. And, you know, we like to hear that. Fairhill and Kelly Rubley and you just can't – that just gets – instills how important the horse racing, horse industry is here in Maryland and how important it is to us. Maryland breds, you're right. They're great horses, and they run really well. We just, you know, need them to get across the line first.
You know, everybody here in the state is so welcoming. Every time we come here, when we went to the Maryland Million last year, I was there for the first time, coming to Laurel for the first time, and the people just couldn't be nicer, Cricket. I think that's a kind of a hallmark of people in this region, isn't it?
I think we hear that a lot when trainers, you know, from out of town come in for Preakness time, that Preakness, the Pimlico and the people at Maryland Jockey Club treat them so well. So I think it's sort of a hometown feel, a small town feel, I guess. And everybody's so impressed with, you know, this big event coming to Maryland. Plus, we have the horse sale going on. There's just a lot of stuff going on in Maryland this time of year.
We've had the chance to talk to Mike Ponce from Country Life here tonight. We had the chance to hear from Bill Reitler in our previous segment, somebody who's had a lot of success, especially with Maryland breds. Talk about the program here and the different things that are going on, the different initiatives that are now being offered to horsemen, not only on the racing side but on the breeding side too.
Well, we have to be competitive because it's a regional business here in the Mid-Atlantic, so we have to be able to compete with Pennsylvania and now Virginia. So we all offer breeders' awards and owners' awards and sire awards. Maryland Million is really the focus on the Maryland sires, but breeder bonuses go to the breeders of Maryland breds. They also get an owner bonus. And, you know, all the states do that, but you have to be making sure that your bonuses are competitive and available, because what a lot of people do in this day and age when they breed horses is try to take advantage of multiple programs. And we encourage that, to be honest with you. We want them to make money and stay in the business. So if they can breed to a Maryland sire and then they foal it somewhere else, that works for us if they come back and run. Or if they want to foal it here by an out-of-state stallion like Always Mining, that works too.
You mentioning that, when one goes back and looks in recent years at the annual divisional champions here in Maryland, one of the things that jumps off the page is how many of these champions are bred by different farms, different individuals. It seems like anybody who gets involved and breeds in this program has a shot to succeed in the program. How have you all managed to structure Maryland breeding and racing so, frankly, anybody can have a shot to do well?
Well, I think Maryland has always been inclusive rather than exclusive, so we've tried to, you know, we've allowed people always to breed to out-of-state stallions and foal here and be Maryland breds. There's not a lot of requirements that you have to keep your mare in the state for a period of time. There's just, we want to breed the best horses we can and have the people do that. And if they can do that by breeding to an out-of-state stallion, if they foal their mare here, as I said, it's just, you have to be, in this day and age, very competitive and very willing to help people make money.
Yeah. You mentioning that.
Yeah.
Some nearby states that are doing very well. We talked about it with Mike Pons earlier. We talked about racing coming back in Virginia. We talked about the influx of money coming back in West Virginia. Is it kind of a rising tide lifts all boats theory? Does that redound well for Maryland when those states are doing well?
It does, as long as we're competitive. Where we had trouble were some of the years before the slots revenue started flowing here, and those other states had slots, so we weren't really competitive. And horses did leave the state to go breed elsewhere. But as long as we can stay competitive, and thankfully the legislators here have understood that. So if we see that we're, you know, a little out of whack with the purses or the bonus system, we go and we talk to the legislators and try to help them understand the economic impact of the business and why they should look at ways to support it. So that's a continual effort. And I think it's true of every state, to be honest with you.
We are here in downtown Baltimore. We are surrounded by horse people, not just owners and breeders, but people from all over the country, because we're getting ready for the post-position draw of the Preakness Stakes, which begins at 5 o'clock Eastern. We'll have coverage of that as well. But Cricket, when you look around and you think about what this week means to not only you as a native Marylander, but to the state as a whole and to this area, what does it mean?
Well, the Preakness, as many people say, it's like having the Super Bowl in Maryland every year. And I think we honor that and we recognize that. And, you know, right now in Baltimore City, it's a big celebration, and it should be. And you know, that's good, because the focus of the industry and nation, really, horse racing fans, is on Maryland this time of year, and they all want to see how we're doing. I think that's great. I don't think you could duplicate it anywhere else. You know, we don't have Super Bowls here in Maryland. We have great sports teams. I'm not knocking, you know, but we don't have, you know, something, an event that comes here every year that you can count on that kind of business.
If she brought up the Baltimore Ravens, this interview was over
very
quickly. Just well, you notice the black and gold colors of HRN. There's a reason for that.
Cricket, I have to tell you, the HRN crew went out to a local eatery last night. And Mr. Pena here was wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers hat. And one of the individuals in the restaurant didn't take too kindly to that last night.
No, he was decked out in Baltimore Orioles gear, but obviously a Ravens fan too, as I quickly found out.
Yeah, and it's not even that time of year, and they're gonna jump on you for being a Steelers fan. Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah, he was not too happy about that. You know, we run a commercial for the Maryland Horse Breeders Association on our network throughout the year, and it talks about Maryland being first in many different categories that many states now follow. Do you feel like Maryland in this industry here has kind of been a trendsetter and a pace setter in a lot of ways for what we're seeing around the country now in other areas?
I think definitely it has, because we were the first state association 90 years ago. We started the first regional horse magazine called the Maryland Horse. We started the first incentive fund, the Maryland Fund, in 1962. We started the Maryland Million. Yeah, so we don't want to rest on our laurels, to be honest with you. I'd like to come up with another first. So that's what we should be working on. What's the next first that Maryland can come up with?
Well, what's the future hold then? What's new and kind of on the horizon maybe that we might see here in the state of Maryland? Anything in particular?
I don't know. You know, we just have to be able to think outside the box. I don't think there's an obvious right now. You know, we're rolling out some new thing. We're just trying to stay ahead of the game, you know, look at the different opportunities. Sports betting is going to be on the horizon here. I don't know what that'll do for the tracks or for the industry, but it's something that we need to watch. And so you just, you know, you never know, but we have to be thinking big.
Speaking of which, when you think of events here in Maryland, whether it's the springtime and you've got the Preakness, or whether you think about in the fall with the Maryland Million and that tremendous set of races, how has the relationship been between the Maryland Horse Breeders Association and racetrack management? Because it seems to me like you all cooperate pretty well in making these things into events that draw the public in.
Definitely. I think that that's a big deal in this day and age. You know, you have to have events. The regular Saturday stakes days don't really get it anymore, so you've got to make it an event. And the Strana Group recognized that with Maryland Million. They came in and Maryland Million was already established, but they really took it to heart and saw what a great event it was. And I think that, you know, that's what we need to do, and they've worked hard to help us with the industry here.
Back in April, about a month ago, Cricket, we were at Charlestown to broadcast the Charlestown Classic, and we saw West Virginia Bred Runnin' to Love You become the first West Virginia Bred ever to win that particular Grade 2 race. Finish the sentence for me. If Always Mining were to pull off a victory in the Preakness on Saturday, it would mean what?
it would just be cap off a great celebration for our 90th anniversary. It would spotlight our industry here. It would recognize the dedication of the people here in Maryland that have made horses like that. We would love to see it. We hope the horse just runs the best he can, but if he could win, it would be a great thing.
Well, let me tell you something. Your passion, your enthusiasm, Mike Pond's the same way, Bill Reitler the same way. It's infectious, and we love coming here to Maryland. We'll be back to broadcast the Maryland Million again this year, so thank you for all your help, all your support, and we are so proud to be here each and every
year.
Thanks
for having me, and I want to see you back here as often as we can get you up here in the free state. We need HRN up here more often.
Yeah, just get rid of the Ravens for me. Do something about them. Everything else is great up here.
Just don't mention the Steelers while you're here, okay?
Thanks, Cricket. Appreciate it.
Thank
Cricket
you.
Goodall, the executive director of the Maryland Horse Breeders Association. What a job that they have done here over the years. You heard her mention some of those firsts, and if you listen to those commercials we run throughout the year, so many first. The Maryland Million, when we come back here in October to broadcast that, the Maryland Million, I had never been to it before. We had broadcast it remotely, but to be there and be part of it, you see how much it means to the people of Maryland, to the industry here as a whole.
It's a great example of what happens when you have something on the national level, such as the Breeders' Cup, which started back in 1984, and then the late, great Jim McKay of sportscasting fame at ABC. Of course, he was a Marylander himself. He was involved as a breeder of thoroughbreds in this state. And he comes home after the Breeders' Cup and turns to his wife and says, I would love to see Maryland do something like that for Maryland breds. And that's where it all began.
You know, I was flipping through some old YouTube videos the other day as I was getting ready for our coverage up here. And I found some of those broadcasts with Jim McKay that were out there. And, oh, he was so good.
Yeah, and so versatile. Didn't matter what sport he was covering. He covered them all so well, but there's no question he had a special fondness in his heart for thoroughbred racing.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get you right to that Preakness post position draw, the 144th running coming up on Saturday. Of course, we'll have coverage of the Black Eyed Susan and all that Preakness coverage on Saturday. You can visit our website, horseracingradio.net, to see a complete schedule, Sirius XM channel information, and to find a station near you. The post draw is coming up next. We're just a couple of minutes away. Kicks off right about 5 o'clock Eastern, so stay with us. We're back here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That's all ahead on HRRN.